Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you on this beautiful Palm Sunday. It's here, folks. Lent is the last week as we head into it, and just the whole time we observe the time of the last week of Jesus, the Passover week, the time of his triumphal entry today. Last week, we really touched upon what it was for Zacchaeus as Jesus was traveling his way as he was making his road on the way to Jerusalem, and he was stopping in the big city of Jericho. But before we go there this morning, I just want to touch base with you just on a few announcements, on a few things, just to bring you up to date about what's going on here with Vital Ministries. Again, we just want to encourage you to continually to plug in to Vital Ministries. We have devotionals that go out 6 days a week. You can go on to vitalministries.org and check it out. We got some great stuff that's going on between both men and women. We have 5 different writers that write for us each week, and then my wife takes care of things for Vital Women on the Vital Women side. So just a great opportunity to get that extra plug in as we go through the day-to-day life, and I pray that it's just a continued inspiration for you. Also, too, it's our final month in Vital Men's small group, and it's still time to jump in and get plugged in. We have 6 different communities. You can get on our website and find out where those communities are and get plugged into a small men's Vital Men's group. So just encourage you to participate in that as well. But continue to get on the Vital Ministries webpage. We have different events that are coming up, motorcycle events that are coming up. We also have some summer events that's going to happen this year with Vital Ministries, and just ways to stay tuned about what is going on in your local area. So just some really, really good stuff. But like I spoke just briefly, as we traveled through the road to Jerusalem, last week we talked about Zacchaeus and how salvation came to that household. But today is a day of excitement as we recognize the road that Jesus took as he's headed into Jerusalem, the holy city for the Jews, the capital of the ancient kingdom of Judah. The name Jerusalem occurs over 806 times in the Bible. It's called the City of David. The size of the city is today is 47 square miles. It has an estimated population of over 900,000 people that live in the city of Jerusalem itself. It will receive, folks, over 3 million tourists visiting Israel and Jerusalem each year. That's a lot for a small country that it is. And most people won't travel to get to Israel, but they fly. It's a destination. Yet most will travel. As you fly in, you will always enter the city of Tel Aviv, and from there you will travel by road to the different places to see the different historic sites that's in that credible nation, and also too to visit the city of Jerusalem itself. See, folks, roads are essential. They're a way to travel to get to a destination. You know, Chevrolet has marked finding new roads. We are always looking for a journey. And I in the journey, a lot of times, folks, part of my being on the road is on a motorcycle. I love to ride motorcycles. And yes, I have a Harley, but the best part of the journey in the riding is finding new roads, new destination. This year with Vital Ministries, we are taking 2 specific motorcycle rides. One that will be for the men, which will be on May 31st to June 2nd. We'll be traveling the Mississippi River with an exclusive men's ride. Now, if you want to be a part of that, you can go to the Vital Ministries webpage and sign up. We encourage you to do that. That's for men in all areas of life. You just don't have to be specifically to a church. Maybe you just kind of do your own thing. You love to ride. It'd be great for you to join us and come along. It's a 3-day adventure in which men chase the road and hopefully, most of all, experience friendship with each other. And it oftentimes will, along the way, we take breaks to enjoy that friendship. It's much like if you remember the movie, the iconic movie called The Wild Hogs. I usually watch it every year just before the motorcycle season. I love to do that. But much of the ride, I have to be honest with you this morning, is like a movie. Men forgetting things, eating the good food along the way, and yes, there's those bathroom breaks. I've had many men come up to me and tell me, "Mike, I need to make sure if you would tell Buck to slow down a little bit, stop about an hour after we get on our trip, because we need to stop to the restroom because the coffee kicks in. And it's just funny how the men are just that way, and much like the movie. But we have a wonderful time, a great time of fellowship and friendship along the way. But as men in general, we love the road and the challenges of the road itself. You don't have to wait too long. Just ask any trucker why they head down the highway, head down what they call the open road. It's like the song goes by Jerry Reed, where it talks about eastbound and down. Every trucker that I've met just loves that song, but they love the journey. They love the destination of the road itself. But much of us like to drive. But today, as we look at the road of the triumphant entry of Jesus, there's a quote that talks about a road, and it's from a woman by the name of Ayn Rand. And she puts it this way. She says, throughout the centuries, there were men who took first steps down new roads, armed with nothing but their own vision. Man, I love that quote. It just kind of grip you? And when I think about that, it makes me think about Jesus. From him, his vision was the cross. The road on the Mount of Olives leads to the eastern gate of Jerusalem. And I want us to look through the eyes of Jesus himself and in the light of the teaching of what he must have been thinking in his vision. And today I want to reflect on this thought. This is really going to be as we are on our road to Jerusalem. I want us to think about this today, about Jesus. This is really the title of our teaching today, A Higher Road Taken. We've all heard it said, take the high road, which means doing the right thing, even if it's not popular or even easy. Jesus definitely traveled this kind of a road throughout his ministry. But I believe it's bigger than that. And I'm hoping today that we get a glimpse of what that must have looked like for Jesus as he passed through, as we talked about last week, passing through Jericho, and now he's up in the city. He's in Jerusalem. Jesus would spend 3.5 years in his ministry, the last portion of his life, headed down to a final week, which we're going to observe in the crucifixion. He, without a doubt, was living out a higher road taken. This was his destiny. It says this, and the reason why is all comes down to in truth to John 3:16. For God so loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. That's why he traveled the road from Bethpage to Bethany, down the Mount of Olives to the city of Jerusalem. But this morning, I want us to jump in. If you got your Bibles with you, and maybe you're traveling down the highway, that is great. We want you to keep your eyes on the road. We want to thank you for listening to KBOE 104.9. And also, too, if you are maybe traveling on your way to church and you just tuned us in, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Or maybe you're sitting at home and you got your Bibles, and we're going to look at Luke chapter 19, starting with verse 28 this morning through 34. And this is what the Word of God says. After telling this story, Jesus went on towards Jerusalem, walking ahead of his disciples. As he came to the towns of Bethpage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples ahead. Go into the village over there, he told them. As you enter in, you will see a young donkey tied there that no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks why you are untying the colt, just say, the Lord needs it. So they went and found the colt, just as Jesus had said. And sure enough, as they were untying it, the owners asked him, why are you untying the colt? And the disciples simply replied, the Lord needs it. So they brought the colt to Jesus, and they threw their garments over it for him to ride. See, we find Jesus sending out two of his disciples ahead to find a young donkey colt. And it doesn't tell us exactly who those two disciples were, but we notice something about the disciples themselves. What we notice is that they aren't asking why or what for. Jesus gives an order, go. In my mind, he's earned their respect and their obedience to do such a task. Like a general telling his men, this is what I need you to do, and this is what I need you to accomplish. We see this in the portion of the Bible, not only as in obedience to the disciples of Christ, but their love and their dedication to him. I have a good friend of mine who is name is Marty. He's been a church planter down to the Bridge Church in Ottumwa, and they're now planting a new campus in Centerville, Iowa. The pastor of the Bridge Church which is Marty Schmidt, again, is an incredible leader, man of God. And you don't have to be around him very long to realize from his staff how much they love him and how much they are dedicated to his vision of reaching unchurched people. Marty has a vision to go to the smaller communities surrounding Ottumwa to bring the gospel message. I love it. In order to do so, there is this go statement that he makes. He just recently asked his youth leader, Tommy, to step aside from doing youth ministry and to go and be a campus pastor. They had what they called a soft opening this past Sunday down in Centerville with over 140 people in attendance. What a great opening kickoff, wasn't it? Marty from the Bridge is traveling new roads, and so it was for the two disciples. They did exactly as Jesus had told them to do. The Lord also gave them specifics in the go. Tell the man the Lord needs it. And the man accepts the request and then allows the men to take the donkey. Now you might be asking, why would the man give his donkey up so easily? And I think that's a great question as we wrestle with, but the answer lies in the Old Testament. Now I want you to stay in Luke chapter 19, but I want us to go to Zechariah 9:9 and just hold this thought, write down this verse if you're at home today. And this is what it says from the old prophet. Rejoice, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey's colt. Folks, this is full of prophecy. This was full of what lied ahead. So simply what was going on with the man giving up his donkey, because it was literally for the Messiah. And I can't help but believe God was working in this man's heart, yielding a willingness to help in such a moment as this. See, this man, we don't know his name, we don't hear anything about him, other than he was willing in the moment to yield to Jesus' two disciples who went for the go to bring back the colt. When his disciples come back with the colt, they take off their outer garments, their coats, so it's better for a better ride, simply for Jesus as he's on the back of the young colt. And again, it's a display of love and devotion for the rabbi. Folks, I love hanging around people whose hearts are soft and open towards Jesus. They are worker bees in the kingdom of God. You just don't have to be around them very often to see that these kind of folks are working in the church kitchens and doing the things that people don't notice, things that are hidden. And what a way to serve. And that's exactly what these two disciples were doing. It's hidden. No name is being written down. And also, too, the man who gave up and yielded the donkey. But why don't we keep going to our next point this morning too. And as we look at point number two, the road will be crowded. But let's keep reading in verse 36. Through 40, and get the rest of the story as we move along this morning. And this is what it says in the Bible in verse 36, Luke 19. Blessing on the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven, the glory in the highest heaven. But some of the Pharisees among the crowd said, Teacher, rebuke your followers for saying things like that. Jesus replies, If they kept quiet, the stones along the road would burst into cheers. See, it's an all-out worship service that goes on as Jesus is traveling down the road amongst the crowd. People are everywhere. They're throwing down their coats along the roadway, and they're cutting down branches. You see, folks, back then, they only did this for a king. This same thing happened in 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 13. And this is what it says. Then they quickly spread out their cloaks on the bare steps and blew the ram's horn, shouting, Jehu is king. The people thought Jesus would be a king over Israel. He did all these miraculous things days, and matter of fact, days before he entered into Jerusalem, he raised Lazarus from the dead. This is amazing about what's going on, but yet here's the tyranny of it. He's on the back of a colt, but yet they don't allow that to hold their praise back. They're excited. Israel is doing something great and something that's imaginable. It's a picture-perfect day for a picture-perfect king. Yet in all this lies a problem that isn't why Jesus was coming to Israel. No, he had direct orders from the Father himself. It was time. It was his day for a higher road to be taken. The only problem was that the people in the crowd didn't get it. They were singing and shouting praises for Jesus. It was like the there's a band, and there's an incredible song by the Elevation Worship Band. And it was like they had come to town and they would be singing, "The King is Among Us." I love that song. If you ever get a chance to listen to the Elevation Worship Band, and I encourage you to get on and listen to that song on that song video, "The King is Among Us." And one of the lyrics of the songs goes like this: "The King is among us, and his glory surrounds us, and his fire is falling as we sing. The Savior is for us, his love is victorious, and revival is rising in his name." Folks, it's a great song, and again, I encourage you to take time to listen to it. Last Sunday, I was back preaching in the Newton Correctional Facility. We had one of those "The King of is Among Us" experiences. My good friend Dale goes in with me the first Sunday of each month, and we bring in singing, and he does the worship portion of it, and I do the teaching. But this Sunday had a different essence in it. There was a different atmosphere. Now, put in your mind over 100 men who are in prison as we go down the hallways waiting for us to come in. And as the doors open, they go crowded to get in, and they're setting up more doors. And then we go through the worship song, and the last song before I'm going to speak that morning, Dale has the men on their feet, and they're singing the song, "The King is Among Us." Folks, the Holy Spirit was moving in a mighty way. They were men that were consecrating themselves, and fire from the Holy Spirit was literally falling down in the room. What a moment it was. Tears were falling, men lifting their hands up to the sky. And I think that's how it must have been for the triumphal entry for Jesus as we celebrate this Palm Sunday. People singing, shouting, praise to the King. But not everyone was praising him that day. There were those Pharisees. They were upset on what was happening. They were saying, "This is wrong. We have no king, and especially Jesus." So what do? They tell Jesus to rebuke his followers. Now, rebuke is a strong word. Rebuke in the Old Testament means to chastise. In my mind, in our English, it meant that Jesus was literally to tell them, "Hey, we want you to shut them up." These are throwdown words in my mind, and you're telling me to do that? But Jesus doesn't work out of his flesh, out of his emotion, out of his frustration. No, he's, again, a higher road is being taken. He works from the Spirit. His wisdom is coming from the Father and is kicking in inside of him. "If I tell them to be quiet," he tells the Pharisees, "that the stones, the rocks, will burst with praise." How could he make such a statement? He can because he was with God in the beginning of creation. You only have to go to John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4 to figure out how such a statement could have been said by Jesus himself. The only problem was that it hadn't been written yet, but John the disciple would later. I wonder in my mind, had he not been thinking about this moment as he witnessed the Pharisees coming at Jesus, telling him to rebuke the crowd? Could he not had this in the back of his mind of his writing? See, I can only imagine rocks breaking like popcorn, calling out to Jesus and praising him. Can you get this picture in your mind? The Pharisees missed the moment. Again, blinded by their own religious rules. And it's more of this is what I would call, "Do this, don't do that. Can't you read the song?" You know, I believe a song was written out about that. But they were missing a moment. They were missing a time where they could have actually praised the King of Kings. And folks, it blows my mind to think that in a short amount of time, that things would change for Jesus, and especially with the crowd. But let's go on to our next point this morning, point number 3, the road of tears. Let's keep reading, starting with verse 41. "But as he came closer to Jerusalem, he saw the city ahead, and he began to weep. 'How I wish today that you of all people would understand the way of peace. But now it's too late, and peace is hidden from your eyes. Before long, your enemies will be ramparts against your walls and encircle you and close you in from every side. They will crush you into the ground and your children with you. Your enemies will not leave a single stone in place because you did not recognize it when God visited you. See, Jesus gets full of emotion here. I can only imagine. I want you to just try to get this picture in your mind where tears are running down the face of Jesus. He knows the parallel about what's going to happen in a short amount of time. Often men will say it's weakness for another man to weep. See, folks, I don't believe that. I think that's an absolute lie, and it's full of untruth. I've seen some of the strongest men I've ever met weep. There are times I weep for other men that they might come to know Jesus. I weep for the men in the Newton prison that they might come and get a second chance and become the men that God has called them to be instead of what the world has called them to be. I weep for the men who have lost their wives or their children, and even men who have lost a pet. Sometimes it brings us to sadness and weep. Does that make a man weak? I don't think it does. I'll never forget the one time I was able to get into the Newton prison on a Christmas Eve night. I went in by myself, no guards, and folks, the gymnasium was packed. There had to be 200 to 300 men. It was full beyond counting. We sang Christmas songs, and I preached the Christmas message. And we closed that night with singing Silent Night. It was a beautiful moment. At the end, there was a man that came towards me, what I would call a man amongst men, built like a Mack truck. He comes walking toward me, but the only thing was, this man was weeping. There were tears running down his cheeks. He comes up to me and he thanks me for coming in that night. Told me that the men were grateful and he thanked me for bringing in the outside in. I tell you what, folks, I got emotional myself and I started weeping. This big man, he grabbed me and he hugged me and he said, thanks. See, Jesus loved his people. He so badly wanted them not to be blinded. He saw the devastation that was yet to come, not just for this generation, but the generations even that were yet to come, that Jerusalem would get destroyed and the Holy Temple would soon be turned into rubble. He wanted them to come to their salvation. Folks, as we read the rest of the story, and we're going to talk about that next week, but we're also going to look at, as we talk about the road to Jerusalem, we're going to push in more to the resurrection. But it's amazing to me how a crowd could turn in a short amount of time. A crowd that would be one day praising him on Saturday would be yelling, crucify him on Friday. Folks, the veil that was on them back then, it's sad to say that veil is still amongst the Jewish people, not all of them. They are still waiting for the Messiah to come. And it's promised in the book of Revelation that in fact, they will have another chance. But today is the day of salvation for the Gentile nations. And I'm excited about that we have an opportunity to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Yes, we celebrate this day as Palm Sunday. We praise Jesus as the King among kings and his glory surrounds us. I pray today that if as you're listening and maybe you're traveling to church or this is just an opportunity, but the inspiration of Palm Sunday is to give glory back to Jesus of who he was and who he is and what he can be in your life. But see also too today, folks, it is a day of salvation, a day in which Jesus is calling you to a higher road taken. Maybe today you've never truly asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Today, folks, can be that day. Maybe today you just simply need to rededicate your life. You've gotten off that higher road taken. But Jesus is calling you back. He's wooing you back in to praise him. How great it would be to rededicate your life on this day, Palm Sunday. Let's pray. Jesus, again, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to come and to speak. And I pray that Holy Spirit, that the words that have been spoken would go out and speak to the hearts of people. Maybe they're traveling down the highway. This word of inspiration has really encouraged them today. They've seen a different light of what Jesus can be in their life as their Savior. Lord, it's so easy that you just simply ask us. All we have to do is simply ask you to forgive us of our sins. Lord, we do that today. Please forgive us of our sins. We have been unfaithful. We have been disobedient. We pray that you forgive us and that we accept that forgiveness and that we can lay that aside and you throw it as you promise in your word that you throw it away as far as the east to the west. There's no memory. But you call us to go deeper. You woo us into a deeper calling. Lord, I just pray for those folks that have truly asked Jesus to be Lord of their Savior of their life, that they plug into your word. They get involved. They get involved in a church. Or maybe there's that one that is rededicated in their life. They simply have stepped away from the path, the higher road that has been taken. They've got off that road. I pray today that they rededicate their life. They find salvation to come back into their life, and they get back on the road, and they keep moving. If that's you today, I pray that you make that prayer. I thank you, Jesus, for who you are. We thank you that you are the King, that you are among us even today, that you send your Holy Spirit in front so that we might have communion, relationship, friendship with you. Just like the great men like Abraham, Noah, Moses, you called them friends. Lord, that's what you call us, that we're truly men and women that are friends of you. And we praise you. In your name I pray. Amen. Folks, I pray that today is a day of the triumphal entry as we praise Jesus for Palm Sunday. That is simply not a day to be recognized, but a day that we step into the moment. That we make today a different day, a better day, a day to which we praise you above all things. Because the sacrifice that you will make for us on Friday, a time where you hung on the cross for our sins, that we rededicate our lives to you, and we always keep the cross as you did in your vision of taking of a higher road taking, that we do the same thing. You call us to a higher road taken. We give you praise. We thank you, Jesus. Lord, today, folks, I just pray that today was an encouragement to you, that you had an opportunity to dig deeper into your faith. Next week, we're going to look at the empty tomb, the resurrection, where Jesus comes out. And we're going to see the stories of Peter and John and Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, from their view of what happened on that glorious day. I want to thank you for listening to KBOE 104.9 FM. And again, this is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.